You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains.
This is the gender-swapped time-traveling Lady Jedi AU, a series of ficlets written by Bedlam's Bard, read by Rena Jenkins
and Is Sweden.
And I rise up, I rise like the day. I rise up, I rise unafraid. I rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. And I rise up, I like the waves. I rise up, in spite of the ache. I rise up, and I do it a thousand.
Transport's pilot comes boiling out of the hatch before the ramp is even properly down, practically spitting with rage.
Are you actually insane? What the blazes do you think you were doing coming out of hyperspace that close to a black hole? Hey, hey,
Han says, holding out his hands.
What the hell were we doing? What the hell were you doing? You were even closer. Well, we had a reason to be,
the girl snaps.
You're lucky there's a habitable planet here, or we'd all be dead.
She sneers, shaggy golden hair bouncing. There's something weirdly familiar about her, but Han can't put his finger on what it is. He's certain he's never met her before. He'd remember. Anakin, a woman says tiredly, descending from the transport. She's holding a cold pack to a cut on her head, and she's dressed the same way the girl is, in brown robes over a white wrap tunic and trousers, with a weapons belt where... Han blinks. Both women are wearing lightsabers. He's certainly used to seeing one of those around after having Luke around for the past few months. But no one in the galaxy has a lightsaber except Luke and Vader. The girl scowls, looking somewhat more contrite, and ignores Han in order to go back to the older woman, who looks about 15 years older, with a stubborn chin and a mass of red hair piled in braids on the back of her neck. The girl, Anakin, apparently, guides her to a seat on the ramp.
Sorry, Master,
she says, making a valiant effort at contrition.
But the collision!
That's no excuse to lose your head, says the redhead firmly. Now, try again. Anakin breathes in, shoving her hair out of her face with the back of her hand. She turns back to Han.
Our ship has been badly damaged by the collision,
she informs him.
I don't have time to fix it, so we'll have to commandeer yours. You can be sure that you'll be reimbursed. Excuse me?
Han says disbelievingly.
Who the hell do you think you are? You can't have the Falcon.
The girl sneers at him.
I'm Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker, and this is Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, and we're on Jedi business, so you can give us your ship and be happy about it.
Han hears the woman sigh, long-suffering, but he's already turned away to yell up into the guts of the Falcon.
Hey, Luke! There's some crazy people down here that claim to be related to you!
Anakin, if you persist in telling lies about the Jedi Order, I shall be tragically forced to have you killed, Obi-Wan says, sounding entirely unruffled as she drops down onto the couch beside her partner. Imagine what Master Yoda would say. Anakin immediately drapes her legs across Obi-Wan's lap, leaning her head back against the armrest and fiddling idly with a broken holoprojector that Han had picked up in a junk sale a few planets back.
I'm not telling lies,
she says innocently. You're telling Han about the intimate relationship between Master and Padawan, Obi-Wan says, without glancing up from the datapad.
Well, we do have a very intimate relationship,
Anakin pouts. The nature of which is nothing like what you're making it sound, Obi-Wan says. As you and I are apparently the only two remaining Jedi in the galaxy at the present time, I suggest you desist from telling falsehoods of that sort. Luke clears his throat, making Han jump.
Actually,
he says,
that may not be strictly true. Did you say you knew Master Yoda? You know, not to make this any weirder than it actually is,
Han says,
but who knew that Obi-Wan Kenobi would be such a smoking babe as a woman?
Luke chokes on his drink.
Don't let Anakin hear you say that,
he manages, as Chewie pounds him helpfully on the back.
Why not? I'm pretty sure she thinks the same thing. That's what I'm afraid of,
Luke says. He coughs one more time, then looks up as Leia breezes back into the room.
What did the Rebel Command say? They are intrigued,
Leia says,
and suspicious, as am I, to be fair. Who wouldn't be? Dead Jedi who just happened to be completely different sexes than the ones who actually lived?
Han frowns at Luke.
So, if that really is Anakin Skywalker out there, then she obviously can't be your father.
Luke makes a face.
I'm trying not to think about that. Is the Force telling you anything?
Leia inquires. Luke shrugs.
I don't know. I'm not very good at it. You know that...
That's because you were never properly trained, says Obi-Wan from the door. Anakin lurks behind her, chewing absently on her thumbnail. Who trained you anyway?
You did,
Luke says.
Or Guy, you did anyway? But he died before he could finish my training.
Fascinating, Obi-Wan observes. I don't seem to have done a very good job. Anakin snorts softly. We've decided, Obi-Wan goes on, without waiting for a response. Take us to your Master Yoda. Perhaps he can sort this out.
The silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Bring it to its feet.
Morning, Master,
Anakin says, wandering out into the common area and promptly draping herself across Obi-Wan's lap again, seemingly going back to sleep. Obi-Wan shoves ineffectually at her shoulder. Anakin Skywalker, kindly remember that I am your master and not your pillow. Anakin opens one blue eye, smiling up at her beneficently.
Technically, you're not my master anymore,
she says.
And you make such a good pillow.
It seems highly unlikely that I make any better a pillow than you do a blanket, Obi-Wan says. You're far too bony.
It's all muscle,
Anakin says, turning her head as R2 comes into the room, beeping a good morning.
R2, you're the same as R2, aren't you? Everything's the same except for us.
R2 beeps cautious agreement. What are you thinking of, Anakin? Obi-Wan asks.
I'm sure our R2 has some stored hollows of us,
Anakin says, sitting up and shoving her hair out of her eyes.
This R2 might too. It's been 20 years, but most astromechs don't use half their memory space. Their life expectancies are too short. And I gave RR2 a few upgrades, so I don't see why my counterpart wouldn't have two.
She grins triumphantly at Obi-Wan.
Aren't you curious to see what we look like in this universe?
I admit some curiosity, though I don't see why it's relevant, Obi-Wan allows.
Because you're curious, and we're here.
Anakin grins. Easy.
What about it, R2?
R2 chirps thoughtfully. Anakin leans back against Obi-Wan, folding her fingers into the sleeve of her partner's robe for no reason except to touch her, even though they're pressed up side to side on the couch. Obi-Wan gives her an indulgent look, rolling her eyes, and twirls one of her loose braids around her finger. Experimentally, Anakin hooks her left leg over Obi-Wan's and is pleased when Obi-Wan doesn't push her aside. Amazingly, or maybe not, she recognizes the Holonet broadcast that R2 eventually pulls up. It's from a few weeks ago, recorded before they'd been recalled from Delic IV back to Coruscant. The reporter is a solemn-faced Twi'lek woman with a nervous habit of twirling her microphone between her fingers when it's not in use. Anakin leans forward, Obi-Wan forgotten for a moment, and sees the hollow blur into a tall young man with the same bright eyes and shaggy hair she sees on the rare occasion she's in the proximity of a mirror.
"Cute,"
she says, and Obi-Wan laughs. "Your infatuation with yourself knows no bounds," she says.
"Well, I'd sleep with myself if I was a boy. I'm cute,"
Anakin says.
"What about you? You should be coming up in a minute if I remember right."
Boy Anakin says something earnest about the Jedi presence on Delic IV, then answers a question about the planet's strategic importance to the Federation. A shorter Jedi with a close-clipped beard steps into the hollow at the reporter's question, his hands tucked into the sleeves of his robe.
"Cute,"
Anakin says again, ignoring the shiver that goes straight to her cunt when he speaks. Obi-Wan's voice, but deeper, with a little more gravel in it. Not richer, but different. She runs her fingers along the inside of Obi-Wan's knee, watching the male Obi-Wan in the hollow. This time, Obi-Wan fits her fingers around her wrist and lifts her hand away, putting it back on her own knee.
"That's General Kenobi,"
says Leia from the door.
"Well, our General Kenobi, anyway."
She looks at R2 with interest.
"I've never seen this hollow before. Is that..." "That's me,"
Anakin says helpfully, preening.
"Handsome, huh?"
"Don't stroke her ego anymore," Obi-Wan sighs. "She hardly needs it." Luke is standing next to Leia, looking at the hollow with longing in his eyes.
"I didn't know that R2 had this stored away."
"Annie is apparently more vain than I thought," Obi-Wan says lightly. "She had R2 keep all her hollows. Your Anakin must have been the same way." Luke frowns, staring back at the hollow.
"I've never seen my father before,"
he confesses.
"Well, I'm prettier,"
Anakin says, tossing her hair.
"Who's your mom?"
Luke shrugs.
"I was hoping you knew."
Obi-Wan glances sideways at Anakin.
"Padme,"
she thinks, fleeting. But the other Anakin isn't her, and there have been other women, other men. She wants there to be Obi-Wan. Maybe this Anakin had her. Him. She grins at Luke.
"No idea. I'm not him."
When Obi-Wan lets down her hair, unwinds it from whatever elaborate configuration of braids she has it in that week, it goes well past her waist, like Padme's when she'd been queen. Anakin used to brush it out for her when she'd been Obi-Wan's Padawan, the long, fine red strands slipping through her fingers. It had been shorter then. Obi-Wan had started growing her hair out when Qui-Gon died and she'd made knight. It's vanity, not sentiment. She keeps it trimmed and neat and doesn't let it grow to absurd lengths, just long enough that she can do the things with it that she likes. Anakin's been a knight for less than a year now, and she's been trying to break her automatic urge to run her hands through Obi-Wan's hair ever since. Obi-Wan only has her hair down as long as it takes her to wash it and braid it again. For all that she accuses Anakin of being vain, and maybe Anakin is, but there's nothing in the code about that, Obi-Wan's one besetting sin is her hair. Anakin wishes Obi-Wan's one besetting sin was Anakin, but since she can't have that, she's selfishly glad about the hair, since it means that, Jedi Master or not, Obi-Wan Kenobi is human after all. Her fingers still twitch when Obi-Wan starts taking it out of the braids, piling the hairbands on a table and working the hair free.
"Let me do that, Master,"
she says finally, standing up. Obi-Wan flips her an amused look, her hair half in and half out of her braids. "You don't have to do that," she says, dropping pins on the table with metallic little clicks.
"I want to,"
Anakin coaxes.
"You know that I'm good at it."
Obi-Wan makes a sheepish little shrugging motion. "If you insist, I won't say no."
"Sit,"
Anakin says firmly, pulling a chair over. Obi-Wan sits obediently, pulling her hair out to keep it from getting stuck between her back and the back of the chair. Anakin lifts aside the hair she's already released and puts it over Obi-Wan's shoulder so that it won't get in her way, then gets on with the rest of it, adding to the pile of pins and hairbands as she plots out the braid configuration she's been thinking out for months now. Anakin, if the Supreme Chancellor is the Sith Lord we've been searching for, then we must get back to our own universe as quickly as we can in order to warn the Council, Obi-Wan says, her hands folded neatly in her lap.
I always knew I didn't like that man,
Anakin says, carefully unpinning a fistful of tiny braids from a knot behind Obi-Wan's right ear. She doesn't mind doing this for her master, but she doesn't have the patience to do this for herself. There's a reason she has no intention of letting her hair grow out past her shoulders. I thought you were fond of him, Obi-Wan says, her voice careful. He's always taken a particular interest in you.
That's before he started telling me I was too pretty to be a Jedi.
Anakin sniffs.
The man's from Naboo. You'd think he'd be used to taking orders from beautiful women.
When did he say this? Obi-Wan inquires. You never said anything about it to me.
There wasn't any point.
Anakin scowls at the back of her head.
I'm a Jedi. I'll always be Jedi. That's not going to change just because the Supreme Chancellor thinks I'm pretty. The Jedi are very good looking as a whole.
I always knew you had a secret admiration for Master Yoda, Obi-Wan says.
Yes, I'm sure Master Yoda is a fine specimen of a... whatever he is. But I mean, I'm gorgeous. You're gorgeous. Isla Secura's gorgeous.
You keep throwing around that word, it stops having any real meaning.
Well, you are gorgeous, and I am very good looking,
Anakin says, finishing with the small braids and moving on to three larger ones.
Anyway, I don't know what the Chancellor wanted then. Now, I'm pretty sure I don't want to know. I just thought he wanted to fuck me.
Obi-Wan's shoulders tense. How old?
14.
Annie! Obi-Wan says, hair whipping as she twists around to stare accusingly at her. You should have told me.
I didn't think it was important,
Anakin says. Well, it is, Obi-Wan says. You were my Padawan. I was responsible for you. I would have made sure it never happened again.
Well, it didn't,
Anakin says.
Because I stopped having anything to do with Chancellor Palpatine after that. I'm Jedi Master. I choose to be Jedi. I'm good at it. I don't mind being propositioned, even by Palpatine.
She lets her nose wrinkle in disgust.
But I do mind being told that I can just stop being Jedi because of the way I look. Like it's something I put on in the morning with my shirt and my lightsaber.
Obi-Wan looks up at her, her blue eyes distressed, and Anakin goes on gently.
It was almost 10 years ago, Master. You know I hate worrying you.
You should have worried me over this, Obi-Wan says.
I'm sorry, Master,
Anakin says.
Hey, at least I didn't say yes.
She shudders.
I'd hate to think I'd slept with a Sith Lord.
Obi-Wan scowls, but lets Anakin turn her back around and go back to her hair. On a whim, she leans down and presses a soft kiss to Obi-Wan's cheek.
I'm sorry, Master,
she repeats.
If I'd known it would upset you this much, I would have told you years ago.
She kisses Obi-Wan's cheek again, wanting to kiss her mouth, and for a heartbeat she thinks Obi-Wan will let her. But she turns her head aside at the last second so that Anakin's lips graze her ear instead. Anakin, she sighs. Anakin slides her fingers through Obi-Wan's hair again, loosening the last few braids, and reaches for the brush.
Whatever happens here, at least we know now,
she says.
And when we get home, we can stop it. This isn't our future.
And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day.
Anakin's dreams are restless. Fire and death and the face of the man she'd seen in R2's Hollows. She wakes up gasping with her hand clenched on her lightsaber hilt and a fleeting hope that her bad dreams haven't disturbed Obi-Wan's sleep. But when she sits up to check, she's relieved to find that Obi-Wan is still asleep, one bare foot protruding from beneath her blankets. Anakin scrubs a hand over her face, dropping her lightsaber in her lap, and shoves her hair out of her eyes. She'd gone to bed without taking off the glove on her Durasteel hand, and she peels it off slowly, flexing the metal fingers. It's not an oddity anymore, the way she'd thought it would be at the beginning of the war. Some days it seems like the Order has more Jedi with cybernetic limbs than not. Not Obi-Wan, though. All Obi-Wan's limbs and bones are her own and original. She tosses the glove aside, on top of her robe, and lies back down, holding her lightsaber to her chest. They shouldn't be here. They should be back in their own universe, wearing themselves out against the Separatist troops, killing and dying, and worse. She's done horrible things for the Republic, for the Order, for herself. She's never been certain if she's actually bothered by them, or if she just thinks she should be. Anakin flips the lightsaber between her fingers, watching the dull gleam of the emergency lights off the metal. The forest gathers around her like the smell of the desert before a sandstorm, and Anakin is on her feet without a conscious thought, her lightsaber blazing up. Obi-Wan kicks the blanket aside and leaps up, lightsaber in her hands, and the figure by the door raises empty hands. "Peace," he says, and lifts the hood of his Jedi robes away from his face. Anakin has never seen him before, but she knows him like she knows her own heartbeat. She knows who he might have been once upon a time. She's standing on the other side of the room, lightsaber shining between her hands.
"Obi-Wan Kenobi,"
Anakin says. "And you are Anakin Skywalker," the old man says. Obi-Wan deactivates her lightsaber with a buzz of sound. Anakin follows a moment later. She's not wearing her belt. She keeps on holding her lightsaber, curling her fingers slightly around the hilt. "Master Kenobi, I assume," says the old man, looking at Obi-Wan like she's some old record Master News found in the archives. "Fascinating." "I could say the same," Obi-Wan says. "Luke said you were dead."
"He is,"
Anakin says.
"He's pure force energy. Can't you feel it, Master?"
"Yes," Obi-Wan says shortly, and stares at the old man like she's personally insulted that he would go against the code like that. "What do you want?" The old man blinks at her, but most of his attention is on Anakin, a fond, sad smile tugging at his lips. "Luke told me, but I wanted to see you for myself," he says, and reaches out one hand to touch her face, pushing her hair behind one ear. His touch buzzes against Anakin's skin, like weak force lightning, and she flinches back, the hair on the back of her neck standing up. Obi-Wan steps forward, her hand flexing on her lightsaber hilt. The old man ignores her. "You are so beautiful," he says. "You look so like him."
"I'm not him, Master Kenobi,"
Anakin says, stepping back from his touch, because it hurts. Force lightning is pure energy, and so is he. She wonders if Obi-Wan would flinch from his touch, too, or if it's just her. "But you are," the old man says. "You're yourself, but you're him, too. You're walking his path. You have done what he did." Anakin breathes in.
"I am not him,"
she repeats. "But you haven't told her what you did, either," says the old man. Anakin looks aside, away from Obi-Wan, and clenches her Durasteel fist. "What are you talking about?" Obi-Wan says evenly, moving sideways again. Anakin knows what she's doing. She's trying to put herself between the old man and Anakin. "Ask your former Padawan." Anakin tosses her hair, giving him her best sneer.
"I am not him,"
she says for the third time, and reaches out with her mind for the Force, searching for the steady flame of this Obi-Wan Kenobi's Force ghost, and shoves. He flickers out of sight as if he's never been. Obi-Wan is there almost before he's gone, seizing Anakin's wrists and helping her to a seat on the bed. "Honey, did he hurt you?" she demands, kneeling in front of her. "Anakin, are you all right?"
"I'm fine,"
she says, but she feels sick, nausea rising in the back of her throat at the thought of the old man's words. He knew. How did he know? The Force. The answer comes unbidden to her mind. "Anakin, what was he talking about?" Obi-Wan says gently. She closes her eyes, breathing in, and puts her lightsaber gently to one side.
"I don't know what this Anakin did,"
she says,
"but I think that maybe it was something awful.
Anakin?" Obi-Wan prods when she stops, looking up at her with worried blue eyes.
"I need you to know the things that I've done,"
Anakin says, and opens herself to the Force so that she can show Obi-Wan instead of trying to find the words. When it's over, Obi-Wan lets go of her hands. She steps away from Anakin, putting a hand to her mouth, and half turns away. Anakin closes her eyes and pulls her legs up onto the bed, pressing her cheek to her knees. The memory sharing has left her exhausted and wrung out, so that all she wants to do is curl up in her blankets and cry until Obi-Wan stops looking at her like that.
"Master?"
she says, hearing the pleading note in her voice. Obi-Wan takes her hand away from her mouth and massages her forehead, looking tired.
"Master, please say something,"
Anakin begs. "Anakin, you should not have done that," Obi-Wan says. But the words sound flat to her ears, and Anakin curls up further.
"I know."
"Do you regret it?"
"No. Yes. I don't know."
She closes her eyes.
"I regret losing control. I regret that I allowed my emotions to overcome me even afterwards."
She looks up at Obi-Wan.
"I've been working on it, Master."
Obi-Wan says. Anakin looks up at her desperately.
"Master, it will never happen again. I swear to you by the Force."
"It should not have happened once," Obi-Wan says, her voice rising. She turns away from Anakin, reaching for her boots. "I've failed you."
"Where are you going?"
Anakin demands, starting upright. "To think," Obi-Wan snaps back, yanking her boots on and reaching for her belt and robe.
"Master, I'm sorry,"
Anakin begs, crossing the room to her. She puts out a hand to touch her partner's shoulder, but jerks it back when Obi-Wan levels a glare at her. She's never seen Obi-Wan look at her like that before. "Are you sorry for the lives you took, or because you betrayed me?" "The Order," Obi-Wan says, and flicks her fingers at the door, which slides open with a slight uprush of Force energy that Anakin can feel like a finger of cool breeze along the back of her neck.
"Master,"
Anakin pleads, following her towards the door. Obi-Wan doesn't look back, just waves at the door again, and it slides shut between them. Anakin stands, looking after her, alone and unhappy in the Force, and whispers,
"Master, I'm sorry."
Miserable as she is, Anakin has been at war long enough that she knows to sleep when the opportunity is offered. She had wrapped herself in her blankets and her robe and curled up on the bed, and dreamed those same awful dreams. Fire and sulfur and pain, two blue lightsabers flashing in the gloom of a volcano. When she wakes up, she finds the room still empty. Obi-Wan had never come back. Anakin lies still in the bed, staring up at the ceiling, and reaches out with a tentative mental finger of the Force to pinpoint her master, who turns out to be on the Millennium Falcon's bridge. She gives the equivalent of a knock on the door of Obi-Wan's shielding, and is politely but firmly rebuffed. Obi-Wan's shielding is better than hers. Anakin is well aware that she leaks emotions to anyone telepathic or Force-sensitive within 10 miles when she's upset, but she doesn't even get a hint of what's going through Obi-Wan's head. She drags herself out of bed, exhausted despite the sleep, and ties her hair back in a tail before pulling her boots on. When she makes it into the common area, Luke gives her an odd, uncomfortable look, And Anakin wonders tiredly exactly how Force-sensitive he is. She makes a half-hearted attempt to shear up her shielding that would make Obi-Wan blush for shame if she found out.
"Everything all right?"
he asks, offering her a cup of something hot. Anakin takes it, muttering thanks, and drops into a seat. R2 beeps inquisitively at her.
"I'm fine,"
she says, and wraps her robes around herself like a shield.
"We should be coming out of hyperspace soon,"
Luke offers.
"To see Master Yoda?"
Anakin inquires.
"Supply run,"
Han says from the doorway. Obi-Wan is with him, looking like the very picture of the original implicable Jedi Knight. Anakin looks at her hopefully, doing her best to project contrition, and comes up against the unyielding barrier of Obi-Wan's shielding again. Anakin may have really put her foot in it this time.
"We're not just out here on a pleasure cruise, you know,"
Han goes on.
"We've got business to take care of before we can even think of ferrying you around the galaxy. Which you're going to have to pay for, by the way."
Anakin resists the urge to beat her head against the table. But really, she should have seen this coming. He is exactly like every other deep space pilot that had passed through Mos Espa when she'd been a kid on Tatooine.
"I can fix your ship,"
she says, before Obi-Wan can do more than open her mouth to reply. Han looks outraged.
"There's nothing wrong with my ship. Nothing that will keep her from flying and flying fast. But you've got a busted ion cannon, an air filtration system that's on the brink of kicking it, a water recycling system that could use a few tweaks, and I can make your engines more efficient,"
Anakin says, reaching out with the Force and sinking herself into the guts of the ship with a sigh of relief. This, at least, she knows.
"And I really don't think you want your air to kick out when you're in the depths of deep space. Oh, and I can fix 3PO's wonky leg, too." "How the hell do you know all that?"
he demands.
"The Force,"
Anakin smirks. "Anakin is a very gifted mechanic," Obi-Wan murmurs, much to Anakin's gratification. She smiles hopefully at Obi-Wan, but her partner doesn't meet her eyes, and Anakin drops her gaze again.
"That should be enough to pay for anywhere we want to go,"
she says.
"Hmm,"
Han says.
"I'll need to check that out myself."
Anakin shrugs.
"How does a Jedi Knight learn about the inner workings of a starship, anyway?"
he goes on suspiciously.
"The same way I know how to deliver a baby and my master knows the intricacies of the Alderaanian law code,"
Anakin says.
"Practice, experience, and the Force. And some really embarrassing lessons at the Jedi Temple."
She grins hopefully at Obi-Wan, who drops her stony facade enough to allow a faint hint of amusement before the walls go back up.
"And that horrible clunking sound when the air filtration system starts to cycle up. I was going to get that looked at when we got back to Hoth,"
Han mutters.
"Fine. We've got time for you to take a look at it before we reach the planet, and if you need any new parts, we can pick them up in the spaceport."
Anakin nods, relieved to finally have something to do.
"Excuse me, Master Anakin,"
3PO inquires.
"But how did you know that I was experiencing difficulties with my leg?" "It's not part of your original design,"
Anakin says, putting the cup down and leaning forward.
"When I made our C-3PO, I pulled in code and circuitry from a bunch of protocol droids that Watto had picked up here and there, but most of it I made myself. I'm guessing that this Anakin did the same thing. If you just stick another part on, it'll work fine as long as everything's connected. But it will always be just that little bit off." "Wait,"
Luke says.
"You made C-3PO? By yourself?" "Sure. Apparently,"
she preens,
"I was a prodigy, even for a Jedi."
"You are not a Jedi, then," Obi-Wan reminds her, rolling her eyes. Force-sensitive children tend to be very precocious as a whole.
Oh, yeah? What were you doing when you were 9?
I, Obi-Wan says pointedly, had already been a Padawan for 5 years at that point. I believe that was the year that Qui-Gon and I were on assignment undercover in a smuggling ring in the Hashin system. So when I was 9, I was running drugs. Which is actually not as impressive as I thought it would be when I began this sentence. Anakin laughs. Han and Luke just look startled. Obi-Wan seems to remember she's angry with Anakin and tucks her hands into the sleeves of her robes. You'd better take a look at those systems, Anakin, she says. We'll be landing on the planet in less than an hour.
What planet?
Anakin inquires, standing up. Obi-Wan's mouth twists, but it's Han who answers.
Jabim,
he says. Anakin swears.
All we need is hope. And for that we have each other. And for that we have each other. And we will rise, we will rise, we will rise. Oh, 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 we'll rise.
The death of a single Jedi, violent, unexpected, can leave ripples in the Force for decades, even centuries afterward. 26 Jedi had died on Jabim. Anakin had spent months thinking it was 27, that she had been the only Jedi to make it off the planet alive, before they'd found out that Obi-Wan's death had been faked. She braces herself for the inevitable psychic backlash as the Falcon lands in the spaceport and sees Obi-Wan flinch gray, her fist clenching on the hilt of her lightsaber before she forces her hand away. Cobalt Station hadn't been very far away. Anakin hears Zul's last words in the Force like a broken droid on loop.
May the Force be with the others. May the Force be with the others. May the Force be with the others.
Anakin presses the heel of her hand to her forehead, willing her shields up so that she doesn't have to relive the worst days of her life. It forces the backlash out enough that Anakin can breathe again and reconfigure her shield so that it fades to low-level misery. It still throbs in her head, badly enough that it makes her short and sharp with Han when he sends her off with Luke to pick up the parts she needs for the Falcon's repairs. She pulls her hood up over her hair, knowing that no one on the planet will recognize her. She's not that Anakin Skywalker. But she can't shake the feeling that any minute now someone's going to look at her and point, shout,
"Murderer!"
and
"Traitor!"
and
"Monster!"
at her.
I don't think I'll ever get used to knowing that there are planets where it rains this much.
Luke complains mildly.
I grew up on a moisture farm on Tatooine. I think it rains more here in one day than we collected in a year.
Anakin says, then rouses herself enough to say,
I know what you mean. I grew up in Mos Espa.
You won the Boonta Eve!
Luke exclaims.
Aunt Beru told me once. I went and looked up the records. Yeah, I did that,
Anakin says. The memory makes her cheer up a little, and she starts looking around for a junk shop in earnest. They find one that looks promising on the second floor of one of the market's outer squares. She looks around with satisfaction, her hands tucked in the sleeves of her robes, and starts bartering with the owner for the parts she wants. It's like old times, like being back in Watto's shop. It hadn't been so awful, really. She'd gotten to spend the whole day fixing things, usually whatever she wanted, and she had had a home to go back to in the night. It could have been a whole lot worse, Anakin knows. She had been a cute kid. The way her mother looked at her, she knew that she was going to grow up to be a pretty girl, and she knew what happened to pretty girls on Tatooine, especially ones who came under the eyes of the Hutt the way a podracer did. In a few years, Jabba or Gardula or one of the other Hutts would have bought her from Watto and then, well, it doesn't bear thinking of. Luke pays the owner, wrapping up the parts in wax paper and tucking them inside his cloak. They head back out into the market, Anakin pulling her hood up again even though the walkway is covered. Rain beats down on the roof, a drumming sound that raises the hair on the back of her neck in remembered misery. More than remembered. The backlash is still echoing through the Force, even after more than 20 years.
37 days,
she mutters.
37 days before the sun came out for one miserable hour.
Luke grabs her arm, pulling her quickly behind a pillar.
Wait,
he says.
Stormtroopers.
Anakin follows his gesture.
Clones?
She asks.
Imperial forces,
Luke says, reaching for his comlink.
Han, I'm with Anakin. There are stormtroopers here in the southern square. We're... Oh, no. What?
Han says, sounding irritated.
I think they've just recognized Leia.
Anakin peers down into the square, which Leia and C-3PO have just entered. She sees the stormtroopers and steps quickly behind a pillar, 3PO following behind her, but it's too late. One of the stormtroopers has already seen her and has started advancing. Luke is muttering anxiously into his comlink, reaching for his blaster with the other hand. Anakin pushes her hood back, unclipping her lightsaber from her belt. She sends a wordless warning through the Force for Obi-Wan and says to Luke,
"Tell Han to get the ship ready. This might get messy."
Luke's gaze goes to the lightsaber in her hand.
"What can I do?"
he asks.
"Keep out of the way,"
Anakin says, steps up onto the rail, and jumps, lightsaber blazing into existence as she somersaults down into the midst of the stormtroopers. She sweeps it sideways, snapping her boot heel into the helmeted face of one stormtrooper and putting a little bit of the Force behind it, sending him flying backwards into three of his comrades. Blaster bolts bounce off her lightsaber blade as she deflects them. In a distant part of her brain, she realizes that Leia and Luke are shooting too, while 3PO blithers in the background.
"Time to go,"
she says, when she reaches Leia and 3PO. Luke has joined them, rain soaking his hair to his face and his blaster steaming in his hand. They're shouting all around them. Anakin deflects a thrown stone with her lightsaber, cursing. Apparently, Jabim hasn't forgotten how much they hate the Jedi. Nobody waits to be told twice. Anakin covers their retreat, reaching out with the Force to see if there's anyone in their path, and finds Obi-Wan making handiwork of another troop of stormtroopers back at the spaceport. More are closing in on their position, alerted by their comrades. The Jabimi aren't making it easy either, shouting and throwing things, mostly at Anakin, with their lightsaber and Jedi robes, but Luke and Leia are getting their fair share of abuse too. Anakin will have to apologize later. She can't deflect rocks the way she can blaster bolts. One shears in two on the blade of her lightsaber, one half flying back to strike the side of her face. Anakin spits blood aside, snarling and not caring that she probably looks like the Jabimi image of the original Mad Jedi. She deflects blaster bolts as they retreat into the spaceport, coming up beside Obi-Wan, who's doing the same. The area around them is littered with dead stormtroopers, like every battlefield Anakin has been on in the past 5 years. Funny to think that the clones lived on while the Jedi died.
"Come on!"
Han shouts from the Falcon's on-ramp.
"We're loaded up! Let's get out of here before more of them show up!"
Luke and Leia run past them, 3PO doddering afterwards, and Anakin and Obi-Wan back cautiously up, their lightsabers flashing. Obi-Wan thrusts her hand out, using the Force to close the entry doors, which buys them a few minutes to retreat back into the Falcon, the ramp already closing as they leap onto it, leaving them panting and sprawling on the floor in the loading bay.
"We've got company,"
Han shouts from the bridge as the Falcon leaves the ground, ascending rapidly into the upper atmosphere.
"Dreadnoughts."
And something else, Anakin realizes, clasping a hand to her head at the same time Obi-Wan draws in a ragged breath.
"Sith,"
she spits out.
"How the hell did they know where we were going to be?"
Han demands, pacing back and forth. Chewbacca grumbles something about spies in the Rebel Alliance that makes Han frown at him, alarmed.
"I'm sure that everyone in the Alliance is loyal,"
Leia protests.
"We've been very careful about that, and this mission was need to know, and I am personally familiar with every person on that list."
Anakin flips a screwdriver between her fingers, her muddy boots discarded on the floor.
"So? That doesn't mean they won't betray you. It happens all the time."
Leia gives her a sharp look.
"Not to me."
Anakin snorts, having heard that before. Obi-Wan leans forward from her cross-legged position on the armchair across the mannequin. "What about the Sith Lord that was with those dreadnoughts?" she inquires. "Is it possible that he, or she, has been tracking you? We have records of Jedi who were strong enough to track their adversaries halfway across the galaxy using the Force."
"But not for many thousands of years,"
Anakin protests.
"And they're not really records, just stories. Children's tales to amuse the younglings. Even I'm not powerful enough to do that."
"Perhaps it is not a question of power, but one of knowledge," Obi-Wan argues. "With the Jedi fallen." She falters a moment, but not long enough for anyone but Anakin to notice. "Who knows what might have been hidden in the archives? Master Nu has long suspected that there are files lost in the depths of the archives that the catalogers might have missed." She perks up, her eyes bright, and Anakin smiles fondly at her. If Obi-Wan didn't have such a strong righteous streak and a nasty knack for violence that betters most Jedi, she'd probably be Master Nu's ideal successor.
"Look, right now, who cares how they did it?"
Han demands, raising his hands.
"Not that I have any clue what a Sith is."
Anakin sweeps a hand through her hair, pulling out the tie and wrapping it around her fingers.
"Think of the Jedi. Then think of everything that's inimical to the Jedi Order. That's what a Sith is. Everything that's wrong in the galaxy. They use the Force, but they twist it. They use it to murder and torture and destroy."
She clenches her Durastil fist, and the hair tie snaps between her gloved fingers.
"Like Darth Vader,"
Leia says softly. "Yes," Obi-Wan says, leaning her elbows on her knees. "Darth is the title the Sith Lords take for themselves. I haven't heard of this Vader, though."
"He's an abomination,"
she spits.
"A monster. He destroyed my planet."
Anakin and Obi-Wan both flinch.
"Alderaan,"
Anakin says.
"There's no weapon that can destroy a planet." "We destroyed the Death Star,"
Luke says.
"For now, anyway. They're building another one."
"What a terrible name," Obi-Wan says, her mouth curling. "This Vader, where did he come from? Do you know anything about him?"
"No,"
Leia says.
"He just turned up at the end of the Clone Wars. There's a rumor that he was once a Jedi Knight, but you have to understand, he wears a mask. There's very little of him left that's biological. His own mother wouldn't even recognize him."
"It's a rare Jedi who knows their mother," Obi-Wan murmurs, absent. Anakin sets her mouth at the words, upset. And enough of that must leech past her shields into the Force, because Obi-Wan turns to give her an apologetic look, which doesn't really make up for it, but is more than Obi-Wan would have offered up 4 years ago. "I think I'd like to meet this Darth Vader," Obi-Wan goes on, thoughtful. "I'd like to know who it is I'll have to warn the Council about when we get home."
"But you do know him,"
Luke says, suddenly.
"I'd forgotten. Ben once told me that Vader was a pupil of his when he was a Jedi. So you must know who he is."
There is a strange kind of roaring in Anakin's ears, drowning out Obi-Wan's dissembling about the class she'd once taught at the Jedi Temple. Her vision seems to go strange, everything blurring before her. And for the first time in years, she is acutely aware of the differences between Durasteel and flesh, clenching her metal fist over and over, and knowing for once exactly where her own skin ends and the metal begins.
"There's very little of him left that's biological."
"You are walking his path," this universe's Obi-Wan Kenobi had said, as if it was a foregone conclusion. It could be coincidence, but there is no coincidence, just the will of the Force. Anakin stumbles upright, feeling ill, and blurts out something about a concussion from the rock that had struck her. She hears Obi-Wan come after her, sending out soothing tendrils of the Force that coil against her shields, gently suggesting that she take a moment to breathe and calm down, think this through, and not leap to conclusions. Anakin doesn't really feel like calming down. She feels like throwing herself out an airlock, because that has to be better than... No. Stars of Alderaan, no! She slams her way into the Falcon's engine room, Obi-Wan still following, and puts her back up against the wall, putting a hand out to rest on the hyperdrive engine, which hums softly beneath her bare palm. Obi-Wan flicks her fingers at the door to close it and stops in front of her, not quite touching, but close enough that Anakin could reach out for her without difficulty. Honey, it doesn't mean anything, she says.
Of course it does,
Anakin says dully.
That man, that bastard, he broke every rule in the code. No wonder the other Obi-Wan looked at me and hated me so much.
We don't know that Vader is this universe's Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan insists. There's no proof.
You've only had one apprentice!
Anakin almost screams at her, holds it in, because the ship's not that big and she doesn't want the others to overhear this. It comes out a hiss instead, ugly with pain. And Luke did not say that Vader was Obi-Wan's apprentice, merely his pupil. I know many Jedi. I've taught classes in the temple. I've watched over Padawans whose masters are absent or dead. Don't you think that if his own Padawan had turned to the dark side, he would say it?
Would you?
Anakin demands bitterly.
If I turned to the dark side, would you be able to say it? Would you be able to say the words, my former Padawan? My partner has betrayed the Jedi Order and become a Sith Lord?
Even saying it makes her feel like throwing up. She sweeps the back of her gloved hand over her mouth, as if to clean the taste of it away. Obi-Wan closes her eyes for a moment, then opens them again, as blue as her lightsaber in the dim lights of the engine room. Whatever choices that Anakin Skywalker made, if he did make them, do not inform what choices you will make, she says. You are not him, Anakin.
But I am him, Master,
Anakin says.
We're the same. If he fell to the dark side, then I...
She puts a hand to her mouth, nauseated again.
Then I could, too.
She says, the words oddly muffled to her ears, like listening to something from the other side of a closed door. You could, Obi-Wan agrees. So could I. So could any of us. The dark side is a constant danger for all Jedi.
Not for you,
Anakin says.
You're the last person who'd ever... Well, you and Master Yoda, maybe, but I've done things. Horrible things. I've broken the code. I've had attachments.
Your mother.
Mom? Padme?
She raises her head and looks steadily at Obi-Wan.
You.
Obi-Wan sighs. Most of the Jedi in the Order have broken that tenet, if only with our masters or Padawans. It's gotten worse since the war began. We have all begun doing dangerous things for each other. There are so few of us left. Anakin is so startled that all she can do is stare at Obi-Wan, who's probably the last person in the Order she'd expect to ever admit to breaking the code.
You wouldn't?
She says, distracted for a moment from the mystery of Darth Vader. Wouldn't I? Obi-Wan asks, reaching out one hand to touch the curve of Anakin's cheek. She turns her face into it, closing her eyes. Obi-Wan strokes a thumb gently over her cheekbone. You are not weak, Anakin Skywalker, she says. Whatever he did, whatever you've done, you've told me about it. You will not fall into darkness. I will not allow it.
This Obi-Wan couldn't stop it,
Anakin says, the despair rising up again. Obi-Wan's calloused palm is warm against her cheek. The Force wrapped around them like the comforting folds of a Jedi robe. I am not him, Obi-Wan breathes. You are not him. Do you remember what you told me last night about what you said to the Supreme Chancellor?
I am a Jedi,
Anakin says, and opens her eyes. Obi-Wan is very close. Close enough to kiss. And her breath is warm against the curve of Anakin's jaw. "We are Jedi," Obi-Wan says. "Whatever else we are, whatever else has happened, we are Jedi. Even if we are the last Jedi left in the universe, any universe."
"We are Jedi,"
Anakin repeats, her voice scratchy to her ears. Obi-Wan leans forward and presses a kiss to her forehead. "You were my Padawan. You are my partner. And I trust you with my life no matter what anyone says. We are Jedi. You and I, together, until the day we die. We are Jedi." Anakin swallows.
"Why would he do it?"
she whispers. "It doesn't matter," Obi-Wan says. "You aren't him."
"No,"
Anakin says.
"I'm a Jedi."
"I'll rise up, rise like the day. I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I will rise a thousand times again."
The end.
Yes.
Oh my god, that was painful and I love it. Time travel, fix it. That doesn't make anything better.
Just makes everyone sad.
Yes. This podfic was recorded at Podvacation 2017. Thank you, Sweden. This was so good and painful at the same time. You can find this on AO3 under either of us, right?
Yes.
Bye.
And we'll ride.